Roger, overall, documenting your last wedding, I actually want to ask you a few technical things. I want you to spill the beans for photographers or people aspiring to get into it. I want to know exactly what you did this morning, from the very beginning, in terms of technical. We forget about how you prepared last night and all that stuff. Well, actually, no, sorry. I'm making this up as I go along. Can you just tell me from the beginning how you prepared for this particular wedding?
Okay, my wedding preparations start a couple of weeks beforehand, and I like to meet my couples. I like to just reconnect with them, because what you mustn't forget is that it might have been a year or more that you last saw them when they booked you.
So this particular wedding, let's put it in front. This particular wedding, approximately what date were you booked to do this wedding?
Oh, that's a very good question that I can't answer, but we'll say about a year ago.
Okay, so that's good enough, right? So about a year ago you were booked, right?
Yeah.
There was a contracting conversation, I'll call it.
Yeah.
Right? We'll leave that for the moment. When was the next time you had contact with this couple?
There would have been brief email exchanges just after I was booked, and then in the run-up to a wedding, I get in touch with my couples, and we arrange to meet if it's possible, if they're in the country or if they're in the same city, it's easy to meet up. If they're coming from abroad, then it doesn't happen, but ideal situation, we meet over coffee.
When is the run-up? When is this the run-up? So in your head, when is the run-up? Is it the last 2 weeks or the last month?
I will get in touch about 4 or 5 weeks out.
Okay, you make the contact.
I do. In some cases, the bride will get in touch and say, we're just thinking about our wedding, should we be meeting you? But generally speaking, it's me. And we meet, and over coffee, we chat about their wedding.
You meet with both of them?
Ideally, yes.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes that doesn't happen. Now, for instance, today's groom, he was at the hotel, but he was swimming in the swimming pool. And I thought, well, the least he could do would be to get out of the swimming pool and come and meet me, for goodness sakes. But it wasn't just any swim. He was in the swimming pool for a long time. He's actually training for an Ironman. So he's doing an Ironman in Hawaii during the honeymoon. So his training regime is quite strict, and I understand this because I've trained for the endurance things as well. So I could forgive him that.
I'm resisting all the temptation, and I intend to resist it, to go down the line of, oh my goodness, all that Ironman stuff.
I know, amazing.
I'm focused here on you, not on the groom, right?
Yes, sorry.
So, no, but it's just so... Oh, wow.
I know.
Go on. You were in this hotel. You met the bride, right.
And then we have a conversation about their wedding day. And we talk about how they've got it planned. Things like, where's the ceremony going to be? What time is the ceremony? What time is their call for dinner? Those are the key moments of the day. In fact, the key moment is what time the ceremony is. Because if they're not there for the ceremony, you may as well forget what time the dinner is, because that's not happening. So... and then I construct the story as they have it at that time around those moments. So where are they going to be in the run-up to those moments? Because that dictates where I'm going to be in the run-up to the key moments.
So is this like about, are you going to be in your own house? Are you going to be in a hotel? Are you going to be in the hairdressers?
Exactly. And where is that? How do I get there? Give me some phone numbers. I also get the names of the key people, like the mums and dads, the best man, the chief bridesmaid, the last two.
How do you record all this information?
I have it on a sheet of paper, and then in the day before the wedding and on the morning of the wedding, I memorise the key names, just so that on the day, so for instance, I won't give any names away for today's, but that I know when I'm calling people, that I'm calling them by their name rather than, and now let's have the best man, and now let's have, you know, the chief bride.
So you know the name of the best man, you know Uncle Johnny, you know Auntie Mary, you know...
No,
you,
I don't know aunties, and right. I know mum's, dad's, best man, chief bridesmaid, and occasionally I will also know brothers and sisters' names.
Okay.
The other key...
And tell me, do you have a special... when do you have a conversation with the bride about how much of the pre-ceremony life you're invited in to document.
That's during that conversation. So I will typically say, look, I will photograph the groom getting, you know, something happening at the groom's house, then I'll go on to the bride's house. And now today I can't go to the groom's house because logistically speaking it's just impossible. He's in Limerick and we're travelling to Killarney.
Oh, so we're being stopped by the police.
We're being stopped by the police.
I will interrupt the audio boo, or I'll leave it on just to see what the police has to say. Oh, they're looking for particular people. They're waving us on.
Yes, they're looking for people who haven't paid their tax.
We're just at Macroom and it's now 10:33. We're entering the estate of Macroom. Keep going.
So if it's logistically possible, I'll spend some time with the groom. Then I go on to the bride's house. So the conversations there typically are, look, the most important thing I have to say there is, whatever you do, do not do anything because you think you have to because I'm there. Specifically, don't get dressed. You know, don't feel that you have to jump into the dress because I'm there, because you might not be ready. It could be a while before you actually need to. I learned this from experience because I turned up at a groom's house once, and that was at the absolute outer limit of what I could travel in the day, which did mean I was at the groom's house at 9:30 in the morning. And I arrived at 9:30 in the morning, and the wedding wasn't until 1:00, and they were all, to a man, in their suits already. Because they thought, well, the photographer's coming and he'll want us for the photographs. It will look better if we're in our suits. So these poor people were in their suits from 9:30, for all I know, from 9:00 to...
Yeah, wow.
So it's just... Yeah. So, you know, you learn the hard way. So it's a particular thing that I say now is whatever you do, you know, do not do anything.
And in order to be let into the house of a bride before, you know, and I mean to be... For the bride to feel comfortable with having... you, a photographer who she doesn't know really very well before, come into this intimate situation. I mean, how do you help a bride to make a decision about that?
That's a very, very good question. That really starts even before she's met me for the first time, even before she's picked up the phone. It really starts in your marketing, because I show work that is taken during that time. So there is not an expectation that I will, but there is, the seed is planted that it is possible.
So other brides have done it. Other brides have let you into their life, and the world has not fallen apart.
Indeed. Now, in addition to that, they will, during the first conversation they would have had with me, they would have had a script. Even though the conversation is free-flowing, I work from a script. And so that I get my key points in. And one of my key points is the importance and the significance of their life and the significance of the moments in their life.
Are these bullet points you have on a piece of paper in front of you, or what form does the script take?
It's
is it in your head?
Yes. Yeah,
right.
I've given it...
It's your intellectual property, I could kind of suggest to you.
Yes, actually, I suppose it is. Yeah.
I mean, you could actually... yeah, okay, it's a piece of learning that you've achieved through experience.
Yes.
And you've pulled it together into one place.
Yeah, and it covers... So it allows that... Basically, a script isn't something that you say, okay, I absolutely have to say... The conversation absolutely has to follow this pattern. What a script allows you to do is to have a very free-flowing, natural, engaging conversation during which you get your points across and during which you make sure you touch upon the important things that the couple needs to understand, because don't forget, they need to have a really good understanding of what it is you're going to provide for them. And if you're not able to communicate that, or if you've left bits out, then you might run into problems later on.
Have you ever published your script?
No. I've used it in a course. I've run people through my script in a course I've given. And of course, here's a plug, which will be soon available for download.
Okay, so you have actually shown it to other people.
I have, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And there was a time when you had no script and you made it up?
There was a time when I had no script. And that would, well, the script would have developed over time, and then somebody called Rob Brown introduced me to the notion of script. So even though I was kind of going in that direction, I was developing a conversational tool to help me guide the conversation with the couple. I never kind of understood what I was doing, and then it was somebody called Rob Brown.
The Rob Brown from the UK?
Him, yes.
Who came to B&I?
Yes, he did.
Who I have met.
Who you've met. Well, there you are. It's a small world. But yes, that Rob Brown has a booklet on the use of scripts, and it really kind of brought home to me the power of having one. So then I polished it and made sure that it was what it should be and that it did indeed cover all the points. And I was heading in that direction anyway, but it just takes somebody else sometimes to point out something to you.
So back to Killarney today. You had a month before about, you met with the bride in a hotel, and you went through everything. Were there any interesting kind of moments in the conversation where, you know, you had to clarify things, or the bride asked you some interesting question? Anything memorable from that conversation?
Yes. Well, quite apart from the Iron Man, which was an interesting thing already. Yes, there are during the conversation, during the scripts that I have are designed to prep certain people who are connected to the wedding to behave in a certain way, i.e. not interfere with what I'm doing. And because what I do can seem very distant, standoffish and uninvolved, parents, for instance, can get a little bit concerned that I'm not doing my job properly because I'm the furthest thing away from what they remember a wedding photographer being like. So they then will sometimes get involved and start trying to get me to take photographs that they would like to be seen taken or how they would like them taken. And I had a conversation with the bride, and that might be an issue today. Well, hopefully it won't be, because we've discussed this. But today's wedding is the first wedding on both sides, i.e. these are the first children of both sets of parents who are getting married. Now, the parents, by the way, are the forgotten people at weddings. It's an incredibly emotional day for them. I can imagine.
By the way, do you realise you're speaking to a man whose son is getting married on the 28th of December?
No. Oh. Congratulations. which son?
My eldest son.
Oh, very good. The son I haven't met. And just to tie in with the photographing earlier in the day with bride's family, those are very important moments. And now I'm starting to think, how much do I give away? Because Paul has just reminded me how this wonderful piece of intellectual property I have. And I'm wondering, should I give all of this away? Anyway, but one of the key things is, this I will say, one of the key things to remember is the time that they spend with the family in the morning is the last time they will spend as part of that family. And it's really important, and it is particularly important for the parents, because the parents are formally, this is the end, their daughter, their son, is leaving them. And that the emotion of that and the impact on that on the parents gets forgotten. And no wonder they can get a little bit concerned when they see.
We're passing the Toy Soldier Factory. In case you know nothing about it, on another occasion, remind me, I'll tell you all about it. It's an amazing place.
We have the journey back. Sorry, where's my train of thought? Oh, yes. So you have to give parents a bit of leeway when they see me not photographing the wedding the way they thought the wedding would be photographed. But then I recognise that, so we can manage it beforehand, and we can say, OK, would you mind mentioning to your mum and dad that this is how I photograph? And then once they know, once they understand it, they'll be perfectly happy. And then when they see the photographs, and this is pretty much nailed on certainty, they'll get quite emotional themselves, because they will actually see genuine moments of love and tenderness between them and their children. Moments you can't recreate if you're going to pose everything, if you're going to impose yourself on the day. If you impose yourself on the day as a photographer, you're actually detracting from the day. And once that's explained to parents, they often understand.
I don't know if we've clarified this well enough for listeners, but I'm just going to take your word there.
Mm.
What you're deliberately doing is you're arranging it so that there will, as much as possible, be no posed photography at all.
Correct.
You do not take posed photography. You take photographs of real things that happen in real time when people are getting about their normal life.
Yes, or in this particular case, their abnormal life, because it's such a special day. I do the group shots, but other than that...
Oh, I regard a wedding as normal life. Like in the course of one's lifetime, there's a very good chance that if you become a parent, not certain, you will actually have the experience of being at a wedding.
Yes.
So it is normal.
This is true.
It is normal,
true.
Yeah.
So I do the group shots very quickly. Today will be a joy, I think, because we'll be able to do them outside and we'll have a beautiful backdrop. Just.
Does that mean that you actually do gather a group to be photographed?
I do, yes. Do them as quickly as possible, but yes, I do, because even somebody like me has to bow to that convention. Something has to be given. Something has to be there for the mantelpiece.
Yes, I often wondered if money was no object, if somebody would hire a photographer to do all the group and individual shots, the poses, you know, of where all the pose shots, and then hire a documentary photographer to photograph the photographer taking the group shots.
I don't know. It's. Well, we have that occasion today. Take photographs of me taking the group shots. One thing that's happening in wedding photography or wedding industry as a whole is what you're seeing is this concept of the second shooter or sometimes the third shooter. Now, yesterday I was photographing a wedding and I worked together with a guy called Leon Costello, who is a videographer. And Leon and I get on very well because he films weddings the way I photograph them. So we have a natural
click
symbiosis, yes. But he's now using a second shooter and to do additional stuff. And a lot of photographers have second shooters. So suddenly you've gone from having just one photographer to a situation where four people might be photographing and filming a wedding.
Stop here.
Stop.
We're going
here.
To have breakfast here.
Am I going left or right?
Here, just in there. We're going in there.
We'll
continue the conversation.
And that's an interesting.
We'll continue the conversation. This place doesn't look as if it is ready to receive us. No, I made a mistake. Yeah, back out again. It looks like the place I was looking for. We're looking for somewhere where we can get ourselves at least a cup of coffee, but I actually hope for a piece of toast. So we're talking about a whole team of people shooting a whole film crew.
Almost. Well, two, three photographers, two, three videographers. And I do wonder what that's going to do, what the impact of that. Because that many people, it's very hard to blend into the background. Yeah. One person, like me, can be dumb. Two people, a videographer and a photographer working along similar lines, yeah, can be done. But as soon as you sort of hit... four or five people. I wonder.
Okay, well, at that stage of wondering, we'll take a little break here, Roger, because I still have a lot more things to find out about your process. And by the way, if you want to record a private audio, because you've suddenly realized that there you have intellectual property that you don't want to be generous enough to give away, right? We can do a private audio about that, you know, but you're the boss.